Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we go back with the Hawk with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered. That plus we discuss the Mafia Trilogy, the Xbox gameplay event, the UE5 demo running on the PS5, allegedly, and Ghost of Tsushima. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up, I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and as always, we will go into what we have been playing.
Yes, and it's a lot, too.
It's been a while.
Yes, it's been a while, but if you guys saw, we did our Final Fantasy VII Remake spoiler cast, so definitely check that out. Yes, I have been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. You know, we completed it. Well, I completed it. Joey completed it. And we all completed it. Let's get that out of the way.
Yes. Even though I wasn't on the spoiler cast, I did complete it, and I thought it was fantastic.
So there you go. Definitely check out the spoiler cast there, but I'm not going to get too much into it because you can just check it out there. So Final Fantasy VII Remake, Resident Evil 3, the remake. That one was pretty important for me, one of my favorite Resident Evils. This one I also would recommend. Yeah, we didn't do a spoiler cast on that one, but I definitely recommend it if you want something nice and short and I guess balanced, I guess if that's the word. It's very nice to see a game like go by briskly and fast, and it's like very adrenaline worthy, adrenaline pumping, like Uncharted 2, pretty much. That's how I felt like Resident Evil 3 gave me that same sort of a feeling, and also the Lost Legacy, Uncharted Lost Legacy. So that was actually good, my favorite Resident Evil, so very excited about that one. I also completed Final Fantasy VII Remake, Resident Evil 3. I also completed the Spider-Man DLC. That's also something I went back to, you know, during this lockdown. Just went back to games there and just started getting down to them and just completing a lot of stuff, you know, because we play like a lot of stuff to review. So it's definitely just good to just sit down and just play something, straight through. So Spider-Man DLC was one. Another one, this is a big one too. And I talked about this on previous, podcasts, I guess it's, like probably earlier in the year, last year, in regards to Sea of Thieves. I actually want to apologize for Sea of Thieves, because Sea of Thieves, yes, I actually do, because I thought Sea of Thieves was a nothing game, and it actually was a nothing game, but they actually went ahead and updated what you can do in Sea of Thieves, and me and Joey, we had a blast playing Sea of Thieves together. It's works better when you're playing with people, the whole concept of it, but it was just such a blast with the water physics and just that it's pretty much an MMO in that sense, I guess, making your own adventures. But, you know, they updated it with quests, because before it was a nothing game. But it's such a blast with just how every sort of thing plays out with other people. In it, they're with you. With, like, I could just recall a moment with the Kraken. I don't know if you remember that, Joey.
Oh yeah.
Where that was insane. Like, we were just literally out in the ocean, trying to go on a quest, trying to find treasure, and we were just out in the ocean. We saw like another passenger by ship, which is led by other players, and they were shooting at us. We were wondering why they were shooting at us. One, we were trying to run away as fast as we can from them because we weren't well equipped, and all of a sudden a Kraken just comes out of nowhere, and that Kraken just destroys everything. Well, it's trying to destroy everything, but you know, it's just a very random moment that made it so tense that those same people who were shooting at us, they actually came to help us. So, or we asked for help. One of the two. I forgot what it was. It was just like a wild. Yeah, it was just like a wild incident that happened in game where they were shooting at us first. They saw the Kraken coming by. We were doing all these things to like get the Kraken off of us. And one of them actually came on the boat with us and started helping us and fixing our ship while the Kraken was attacking. And it was just awesome. It's just one of those weird coincidences that make like Sea of Thieves like something special. So I want to apologize for that, for definitely like writing it off too early. But yeah, that was a great event, and hopefully we play more, like, you know, in the long run. Hopefully some other cool stuff that they add, because we saw the Kraken so far, and we saw the Megalodon, right? That's what it is? The, yep. Mm-hmm. The shark? Yeah.
Massive shark, yeah.
Yeah, so we've seen that. So that was pretty awesome. Now, besides Sea of Thieves, I actually started something new. I started... what's the name of it? Look, I forgot it off the top of my head. I started Bloodborne. Now, the reason why I started Bloodborne again is because I was playing Bloodborne wrong this whole time in regards to pairing. So now that I know what to do in regards to pairing, now the game is so much more enjoyable. And I'm usually good with games being difficult and you learning how to get good. But when you miss just like an important, like, I guess, mechanic like that. Like, I miss, like, literally, I played Bloodborne so many times at the very beginning. And I did most of my playthroughs. I didn't beat the game, I can tell you that much. I did most of my playthroughs not following the game mechanics well. But this time, I actually learned the game mechanics. Jeff, our actual freelance writer, he told me about the game mechanics even more with the pairing, and that made the game so much better. Definitely check out Bloodborne. That's all I have to say about that. But that I just started again, and hopefully I end that soon. But yeah, that's all I've been playing so far. And also Ember, and I know Joey, you're going to talk a little bit about that as well. You've been playing a lot of multiplayer games. But yeah, that's all I've been playing, just in general. And yeah, Joey, what have you been playing?
Yeah, been playing actually a lot of different things, but really just going to touch on really two. But I guess the big one was Final Fantasy VII Remake. And yeah, like Jose said earlier, spoiler cast is up. We kind of cover everything, but I absolutely loved it. And for whatever reason, I committed to playing the original. So
that was the pat at the end of the spoiler cast. We're gonna play the original. We're gonna go ahead and do another spoiler cast on the original, and
then we can
do direct comparison. Yes,
the
do remake, direct
yeah, direct comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
When didn't anyone tell me about this?
See, like,
I would have probably. I mean, even though I'm like
you just heard
neck deep in like tons of stuff, I could probably. I've been wanting to replay 7.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Crisis Core.
So, yeah, that's gonna happen. The other game talked about Ember. It's like a. It kind of reminds me of like a Moving Out type or like a Human Fall Flat type of deal. Like weird physics and. It's a satire on the gig economy. So like you get a message on your phone and. Now just a normal person's a firefighter and you have to try to save people while also potentially stealing their money. And then you get like a rating, higher the star rating, more money you earn. It's a ridiculous game. It's actually really fun. It's kind of small right now though. It is an early access and it probably has like about, I don't know, 3 hours of gameplay, maybe 2 hours, maybe. Pretty small. But it is a lot of fun. I think it's like, I don't remember if it's 29 or 19 or yeah, it's if you like don't mind doing early access games, like it's perfectly fine, but I know a lot of people don't like to pay for something they don't know what it's gonna end up being, which understandable, but it is a pretty fun game, especially with someone.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun without someone, especially once you get upgrades like a grappling hook. It makes movement a lot better.
Well, that's what I was surprised by. When me and you were playing,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised by just the upgrades that you can get.
Yeah.
Upgrades,
tools, like there's a lot of like things you can do in that.
Yeah, but since it's an early access, like I can understand some of like there's a bit of wonkiness there. It makes it funny, so it's understandable.
Like I don't mind like the how wonky it is, but like the movement speed needs to be upped a little bit. Like it's a little bit too slow when you're like running around because you're like really slow. That's what I really liked about moving out. Like you had speed, you know what I mean. It takes a while to get around in this, which is weird. But yeah, it's a funny game. The story's funny. There's like a couple scenes where you have to escape through like this obstacle course, essentially like a firefighter obstacle course set up by like the Canadian firefighter department, and they like, you know, stereotypical Canadian, like what we think of as a Canadian, like talk about maple syrup, they have a huge accent, and it's like really funny. One of like the only boss is you go against is a Canadian like a fire department person too, which is really funny. There's like maple syrup everywhere and it starts to like blow up and stuff. There's that other game, Golf with Your Friends. If you go to a miniature golf course and golf, that's literally what Golf with Your Friends is. Doesn't have anything weird about it. I guess the weirdest thing is you can kind of hop in the water with your ball. But other than that, it is literally your miniature golfing with your friends. It's hard. I think Jose can vouch for that one, especially we just played just before this, and it was like some Halloween level, and it was like brutally hard.
yeah, that was weird. Like it was a complete like shock because we played, you know, a few other courses beforehand, and this one was just like brutal. It was just like no holds bar. Like you know, you better learn your calculations correctly. So it's definitely definitely like it was a piece of work there. So.
Yeah, and like the thing about it was the other one started to get hard like around hole 9, 10, 11 or so, and this one got hard at like hole 4. Like it was super hard like 4 on through 18.
Hole 4, like hole 2, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like it was like, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't pulling any punches, that's for sure. But yeah, so I mean, it's a super chill game. Like just, you know, talk about whatever while you're trying to hit the ball in the hole, which is a lot harder than it sounds. Two other things I've been playing, went back to Arkham City, never really played much of it, loved Arkham Asylum, started playing Arkham City, and I'm actually liking it quite a bit. And got back to Animal Crossing. I feel bad, everything has weeds all over it right now, so I'm trying to like fix my village up, you know, typical Animal Crossing things. Yeah, dabbled in other things, but those are kind of the important ones to talk about. Rob, take it away.
Okay. Well, it's been 5 years, but I have finally gotten into The Witcher 3.
Yay.
And I didn't actually realize that it had been 5 years until I saw a whole bunch of like, you know, happy 5 years. Because I've had the game since launch, and I've tried to play it about 5 or 6 times. And I think at most was I spent like maybe 10 hours into it. But it just I don't know, it didn't quite grab me. I think too, like, it was running kind of iffy on my system, but since I've upgraded since then, I mean, my system now is way better than when I had like 5 years ago. So it's like I've been able to run Witcher 3 like at a pretty solid 60 frames per second, 1080p. And I also bought the expansion, which was $10, which I got like right after I finished Final Fantasy VII. I'm like, I need another RPG to play. And I was looking to play a JRPG, but then like the DLC was on sale for Witcher 3. So I was like, all right, now's the time. And like so far, I've put about 60 hours into it.
Nice.
And as far as I can tell, I think I'm a little over halfway. At least that's what a friend of mine's been saying. So I'm probably going to spend 120 hours, if not more, on that.
That's where I almost exactly where I'm at. I think 120.
Yeah, so it's been fun so far, and I think it helps too. Like since I have it installed like on a solid state, like loading is like super quick. Just I hate the initial loading going into the game world. That takes a while when it has those drawn cutscenes. But other than that, like it's fine. Like it's super smooth, super quick. I think which is kind of helping. Get me, or that got me interested a little bit more. that plus if it does feel, even though it's an RPG, it does feel like I could play it however long I want and be fine. Like if I just want to do like a quest or two, the quests aren't super long, you know, it's very kind of pop in, pop out. If I want to like continuously play for a few hours, I can do that too. So I think it's very friendly in terms of time management. So I've been kind of playing it since I finished Final Fantasy VII at the end of April. And I had played it up until this past Tuesday when I ended up getting Minecraft Dungeons, which you have to know what to expect going into it. Like it's Diablo-esque, I guess, Pillars of Eternity-esque, because it's like a, I don't know what to call them, I guess dungeon crawler. But it doesn't have the same level of, not nuance, same level of, I guess, I don't want to say content, but mechanics. It's very simplified because it's Minecraft, so it needs to be accessible. There are no character classes. It's like you choose your skin. You have different like areas to go through with different mobs. And each area you can get a certain weapon, or certain like weapons, certain artifacts, and it's okay. Like I mean, I'm having fun with it. Like I bought the Hero Edition, which was like 30, but it comes with like the two DLCs whenever those drop. And it's, you know, I've been playing it. I turn off the in music game or the
in-game music.
There we go. And just kind of listen to my own music, and it's kind of super chill to kind of do it that way.
Nice.
I'm kind of stuck on the last level on default, which is normal. Just because it's kind of like they throw a lot of enemies at you that need special care to defeat. Like you can't just like go in and start attacking. So that's kind of what slowed me down a little bit, but yeah, it's fine. I enjoy it. I think it'd be a lot better if I was playing with other people, but it's just like I've been soloing it myself, so it's fine. And the other thing, which I've kind of started playing, like I literally downloaded it this morning, is WoW. I was talking to a friend of mine.
I'm like, oh, wow.
That's yeah, like World of Warcraft. Well, because like I was talking to a friend of mine like this morning, I kind of like, you know, I'd been wanting to get back into WoW, not like hardcore, but just kind of play it to scratch like a nostalgic itch. Ever since they announced, you know, WoW Classic, and I, so it's like, yeah, fuck it, you know, I'll do it for a month. I'll see how far I can go. If not very far, whatever. Or if I get bored after a week, it's whatever. It's like $15. I've spent more for stuff that I spent less time with. And I installed Classic. I created a character. Kind of stopped playing after 20 minutes. For two reasons. One, for some reason, the 3D acceleration didn't work. It was all software 3D. And I don't know why. I didn't really fix it. Like try to fix it. And the other one, like, I knew there were certain quality of life improvements that they've added into WoW since, you know, since Burning Crusade. But the thing that got me was how slow the text loads on the quest whenever you pick up a quest. You can't just, like, automatically click it and then it'll fill in. You have to wait for the whole thing to fill in. And that kind of killed it for me. I'm like, I can't do this. I don't have the time. Hmm. It's one thing if I'm like trying to explore an area and learn nuances, but it's another if it's like, just give me my shit and let me go. I just want to get my shit and go. So I created a new character in regular WoW. I don't have the latest expansion. The last one I have is Warlords of Draenor. So I made a Blood Elf Monk. And I played that for about 20 minutes and I already got to like level 4. So it's a lot faster. But we'll see what happens if I end up going back to it. Like I don't plan to do any of the end game stuff. No, fuck that. I'm just going to play it for a month just to like kind of explore the world again, and then that's pretty much it for me. But yeah, I mean That's all that I've really been playing of any note. I've slowly been buying all the fucking DLC that they've been releasing for DJ Max Respect. And they released more shit this past weekend, so I'm going to have to buy that tomorrow. But yeah, that's it. So let's get into the topics at hand. First one is something that has been rumored forever at this point. Even though, like, the last proper game and the last attempt at a remaster or HD version had sucked, it is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered.
This is, like, huge for me. The reason why I think it's huge is because it's finally, like you said, it was an attempt before to actually get it, there was an attempt before to remaster these things. But it didn't come off as good. But they're actually adding the revert mechanic into it from Tony Hawk 3. They're getting back a majority of the original soundtrack. So I think it's going to be awesome. And what they showed of it so far, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can probably speak for most of us. Like, we played, like, I know I played these games a lot. Like, I wish there was a, like, it kept track of, like, how much time you played in, like, Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Because, I mean, like, those were the games, like, we always played all the time.
I wish 3 was actually in this whole, like, remastered package, to be honest. I actually played 3 the most.
Yeah, I mean, they got to start somewhere. So, like, I think this is a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they are taking some of the quality of life changes from there, bringing them here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, some people might, you know, not be happy it doesn't, like, stick true to the vision of what 1 and 2 were. But, I mean, like, things like that make sense. Like, the revert mechanic, I don't think anybody disliked the revert mechanic, you know? It always makes sense to have. And it does seem interesting. It seems like they got a lot of the music, too. That always seems like a big issue with, like, remasters, especially, that have such a big emphasis on music, like, you know, Tony Hawk 1 and 2.
Well, yeah,
because I think they have the remastered track list, mm-hmm. like, on Spotify, and it has, I think someone broke it down, like, it has almost all of the tracks between 1 and 2, except for maybe 6 of them.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Which is relatively good. Yeah. It would have been nice, too, to have, like, custom soundtracks, but I guess that would be an option for the PC release. But still, yeah. I mean, it's fantastic what they have so far.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, and you're right about, like, it being, like, you know, I wish they had a timer deal, because I definitely played a lot of Tony Hawk, and I remember when 3 came out, and 3 was the big online, you know, it was one of the first PS2 games that had online, and I remember, like, clamoring for getting, like, a third-party network adapter, because at that time, the Tony Hawk 3, you could get, like, a third-party network adapter, and it worked, and you could start playing online immediately with it. But I waited a bit, and, like, on my birthday, my mom got me the network adapter, and I played hours of Tony Hawk online when it finally, like, was all said and done. And this one is going to have all the multiplayer, you know, it's going to have multiplayer intact, it's going to have Create a Park, Create a Skater, so, yeah, it's gonna be fun just to revisit, like, you know, it's gonna be like innocent times.
Yeah, and I think, like, this type of game is, like, sure, we've, like, kind of moved past this type of game as far as being like a big budget type of thing, but just having, like, a simple experience where it's kind of like you have a small goal, like a limited time, and just have fun, mm-hmm. is super welcome now. I'm kind of glad that they added more gameplay changes, even though I know a lot of people prefer, like, Skate in terms of its more realism. But, I mean, Tony Hawk is just fun.
Yeah.
I tried, because I have the Dreamcast version of 1 and 2, and I was playing 1, and Gameplay-wise, it's still fun, but everything else kind of leaves a lot to be desired in terms of visuals, in terms of loading, and stuff like that. So this is definitely a game I absolutely want, and I will probably be getting that collector's edition that comes with the deck.
Oh, I've thought about it.
Like, so that limited edition deck. That's like $100.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, okay. Like, that's one of the few kind of, like, collector's edition-y things that is a good, like, extra thing. Instead of, like, oh, here's an art book with, like, 32 pages, and it's, like,
mini art
3 book. By 2 inches. Yeah. Like, the fuck is this shit? Or here's a soundtrack sampler with, like, 4 tracks. Like, yeah. Fuck you! That's not a collector's edition thing. Like, I know they're trying to sell those things, but it's like, don't include them if it's just going to be like a little sampler so you can sell something later. Yeah. Just like add something cool, like a shirt or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk in those.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of why I stopped buying like collector's editions except for like specific ones.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be one of the ones I'm gonna get. I don't know if I'm going to actually put trucks and stuff on it or if I'm going to like mount it on my wall.
Yeah.
But like the last thing I really need is to start collecting like skate decks. The last thing I need.
The vinyls and, you know, whatever else ends up getting collected.
Well, at least with vinyls, like you can hide them away. True. With like skate decks. For sure. Like you'd kind of want to display them like art. So, but yeah. It's whatever. Comes out, what, September?
Yes, it is September. It is a September release.
So that seems
And I mean, it already seems better than the previous attempt at a remake or whatever. I mean,
oh god,
that one didn't look good early on, and it didn't pan out. And like, Vicarious Visions is doing this one,
And they just did
The Crash,
yeah, because it definitely seems like since Crash and Spyro have done well, Activision's like, all right, let's put some money and some time into actually remastering games that people want.
And like some of the instead original, of just shitting about Tony Hawk peeps are in that one too, so yeah, everything's pointing toward it being good, you know.
Yes, you never know. There's never like know, last minute shit that could happen.
Yeah,
That's gaming. But yeah, at least it seems more steady than even like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
Yeah, September 4th is the release date, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a good time. Still summer, I guess technically.
Yeah, pretty excited for it.
All right, and speaking of that remastered duology, we'll go into the Mafia remastered trilogy, which they have just announced and released. Some of it they've two released. I know 2 and 3, yeah.
Because like I had, sense, but sure.
Yeah, because I had 2 on Steam like a while ago, and then I checked and I had like the remastered one for free. So I was like, okay, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, the only thing, I have no idea why they have 2 and 3. I mean, I know why, because they're actually remaking, like, more so remaking 1 than, you know, 2 and 3 needed, but it's weird. It's really weird. But I haven't played the remastered of Mafia 2, but people say there are a lot of bugs all over the place.
Yeah, I was watching the Digital Foundry breakdown of it, and it seemed... at least on the consoles, it seemed very not great.
Yeah, just like not nearly optimized at all. Which is like, my thought is like, then why don't you just wait, put a little more work into that, and then release it with, you know, 1? Yeah, that just doesn't really make too much sense. Like, 1 does look amazing from what they showed, but I mean, they're putting a lot of work into it, obviously. But... I mean, I actually love Mafia 2 as well, like when it first came out. I mean, it comes with its caveats, obviously. Like, it's buggy here and there, but, like, somehow I hate that we don't know what to call these stupid things. Remaster, remake, whatever. Whatever.
Well, like, prequel, like, remake is a remake. Like,
but I mean, like.
Well, the way I see it, like, a remake is, like, top down remake, like 7, or Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Remake.
Remaster is just kind of like, could technically be considered like an upgraded port with like better textures and stuff. And then what's the other one?
We need definition, like clear defined definitions of these things.
Yeah, but marketing doesn't want clear defined definitions of it. People part. Love the idea of remaster and not like, oh, here's a next gen port, because that's all it is a next gen port.
Yeah,
especially if like what 3, which I think came out later or earlier this generation.
Yeah, earlier this generation. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I love the Mafia series, but like, I don't know if it was really needed, I guess.
Well, I played a little bit of 3, and I instantly got bored of it. Like, I just didn't want to partake. Again, you know, with me, it's open world games. They have to be meaningful for me to even, like, blaze through them. It's either you have amazing traversal options like Spider-Man and all these, like, superhero open world games where that's the hook to it, or it's like Death Stranding where, you know, the open world has to mean something in between. And this is just, to me, like, another... Well, for me, like, Mafia 3, to me, was just, like, whatever. In terms of just the open world types.
Yeah, I didn't play 3, but I know, like, 1 and 2. They just had, like, really good... I don't know about story, but, like, atmosphere, probably. Better way to put it. But it's just one of those things, like, if I thought of all the remasters I could think of, Mafia isn't on that list.
Yeah, but, yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
But, I mean... Who knows? Hopefully the Mafia 1 remake does look amazing and run well and it's awesome. And then who knows? Maybe they do remake 2 and 3, you know? Whatever.
Yeah, like, well, for me, because, like, even though I have Mafia 2, I bought it, like, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have any attachment to the series. Yeah. So it's just kind of, like, shrug. And I heard, like, 3 wasn't that great, so I didn't really get that one. But who knows? Maybe I'll actually get around to playing Mafia 2 at some point.
Yeah.
And the fact that I've said it, the same thing about Witcher could happen now at this
maybe
point.
Maybe 5
so
years.
We'll see. Exactly. 5 years from release.
Maybe
5 years from the remastered release.
Yeah, maybe a couple new patches, you know what I mean? Maybe that'll fix it up a bit.
Yeah. Still fresh, so.
Yep.
So I guess, like, I guess it's talking, like, all these remastered versions and remakes. I guess that gets to our next topic with next gen, just in general, because there was an Xbox third party preview event that happened not so long ago that I wanted to go ahead and bring up because, again, we didn't podcast at that time, so it's something here that was important just for me just to bring up, because the Xbox third party preview event, definitely it was something to be seen, I guess. Like, it didn't give us a clear indication on what next gen was supposed to be like, or supposed to be like.
Yeah, it was a magical experience in how not to show next gen gameplay, which is what they were touting before, and they had to quickly apologize for after.
Yeah, that,
because it's
what I was about to say. Yeah, it's just a weird scenario, like you mentioned, with how they touted all this. They were, Microsoft was talking about, you know, we're going to show off some things here, and they showed off pretty much this gen. That's all I could really say about it. Like, at this point, there were some cool things, but, yeah, it was a dud.
I honestly think a lot of what they were hoping to show, I just don't think it was ready, to be honest. I don't think third party is ready with a lot. They're obviously not ready with anything yet, because I mean they're when is theirs, like June or July, I mean middle, early July or something, their like game showcase or whatever.
Yes, their first,
so it's
party
kind of
showcase
odd, well. Especially since like we know what the system looks like. I mean, they have a pretty cool breakdown on their site of all the insides of the system. We have a lot of that information, and then they, I mean, it's just their fault. Like, they touted what they were going to show, and then like that description of what they said they were going to show didn't match up with what they showed, you know. Even if they did show the same games, like if they showed that from the difference of running on an Xbox One X versus the Series X, right? Is that the next one?
Yeah, it's a Series X.
Like, if they showed that, like, oh, look, it loads this much faster, or the frame rate's this much better, or volumetric lighting, or smoke, whatever, you know. That could be better. Not what everybody would want, but it would show a reason, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, it's able to do these things that it's not able to do right now. We had no comparison. So, I mean, it just looked like a current-gen game. It was weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I kind of feel we're kind of at the point where there is, we're not going to get too much in terms of graphical upgrades, not like huge jumps like before. Yeah,
definitely not.
I feel like ideally a lot of it is probably going to be background stuff, tweaks, and things like, you know, the faster load times is obviously a big game changer. Mm-hmm. But visually, it's, you kind of have to break it down,
yeah, for sure,
in terms of what we're expecting. Some of it's gonna like blend into the background. Like if you have, you know, because of the power you have of the next systems, like you'll have better lighting. Obviously, ray tracing is gonna be a big thing too. But you kind of have to show that off properly. Mm-hmm. And none of this was a good way, especially considering like stuff like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which was a pretty much a pre-rendered trailer.
Yeah.
Even though I think even Ubisoft was touting like, "Oh, it's gameplay." It's like, I guess it's technically gameplay, but
yeah, that was a marketing, it's not gameplay.
Yeah, yeah. I just think they've kind of gotten a little gun shy after the whole Watch Dogs thing. But just don't call it gameplay. Just say, you know, a first look at Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah.
That's all you need. It's all you need. You don't have to like overly hype people, but it is Ubisoft, and that's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
I will say that preview event, I was actually looking forward to Vampire the Masquerade 2, mm-hmm. and that preview event kind of killed some of the wind in my sails for that game.
I mean, that game did not look that good. Soon, even, right?
It's listed for 2020, so it doesn't have like a solid release date right now. At least on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually, there was one game that caught my eye, The Ascent. That game caught mm-hmm. my eye because it looked very clear and sharp. It looked like done. It looked like this was going to be like a AA digital title. Right. Already available. It's a top-down action RPG. And that's, to me, that's the only game that I thought was like, oh, okay, like, wow, I can see myself playing this on PC. So it looked very polished compared to everything else. It looked very, very polished. There was a few other blips there, like Call of the Sea, that looked pretty cool.
The Medium looked interesting.
Yeah, the Medium looks interesting. The other one, the Bright Memory Infinite, that actually is already out, but this is like an upgrade with, you know, upgraded like ray tracing and effects and all this stuff. But The Ascent to me was the only like, oh, okay, like, wow, okay, like I could see this working and this looks great. Everything else though, it was just like, this is a blah. Like, come on, like if this is your first showing, you have to make it stand out one way or another. Like you were mentioning there, at least call it like game, like at least give me a demonstration of it. So it's definitely, I came out very disappointed. It didn't temper my expectations on next gen in general, because like things like The Ascent, like I mentioned, it looked very polished, and that's how I see a next gen game looking, because I'm more of a, like you said, the graphics, there, you know, there's going to be few things that we could go up, like a few things that that improve coming into this next gen. For me, it's always clarity, how it looks, how smooth it looks, how clear it looks. So The Ascent was definitely like one of those games for me. But then again, like moving forward, going into that, you see Sony's gonna have their actual PS5 event, on June 4th. And since that's...
Finally, yes. may I add, finally, after months and months yeah. of just the slowest drip feed of content.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with you there. And it kind of like putting things into perspective that this Microsoft show, this third party like showcase was not ready, because even then, after the fact that third party event came out, Epic showed Unreal Engine 5 demo that was allegedly running on PS5. And to confirm it, it's actually running on PS5 at 1440p.
I'm not gonna take Tim Sweeney and his word, but I don't believe that either. Yeah. Like I feel like it's obviously it's a way to show off their UE5 engine. And I think a lot of people seeing that tech demo are expecting every PS5 game to look like that, yep. which will not. And the reason is like that is not a game. That is a tech demo. That's not including anything else like a game would need, like CPU resources for AI and all these other things. So it's obviously going to be very manufactured to look really good. That said, I think we have to look at the individual parts of the tech demo, like the lighting that they showed off, things like that, will be what to expect for next gen. Not every game is going to look like that. Not every game is going to have all those features, but it is something to expect for next gen.
I really want to know how big it was. Like that, it had to have been absolutely massive, you know?
There's no way
you could make a game with that quality all throughout and it wouldn't be like hundreds of gigs.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good question. And that's actually something that I hope in Sony's conference or event, their streaming event that they're having, I hope that they address, you know, compression techniques. And I know Mark Cerny, you know, when they did the road to PS5, and that was a lot more technical. Pretty much everybody hated it because it was technical, but I know some things were explained there, but I want to hear more about game size now that the SSD that they're using is going to only be 825 gigabytes. I want to know how this is going to go down. So that's a good question.
I highly doubt we're going to get any info on game size.
Oh, no, not until, games start releasing.
But, I mean, the engine looked awesome. Just, like, viewing it on, like, a, you know, 4K TV, like...
Oh, yeah, that was good. Awesome. Yeah.
It looked awesome. Like, it did legit look amazing. And especially, like, that's the thing, like, especially games early on in the generation definitely aren't going to look just like that. A lot of them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It usually takes, a couple years to, like, start to get, like, some of that fidelity. You know, there are some things, like, just played, like, Killzone, whatever the most recent one was, and it actually still does hold up, like, visually, like, really close. The gameplay's kind of boring, but that's besides the fact. But, like, it's still not, like, every game doesn't look like that. It's, like, very few and far between, really, that look that good. We'll see, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, it'll still be early on, like, because, like, basically, the tail beginning of a generation always kind of looks like the previous generation, but just a little bit better,
yeah.
with a few more, like, effects. So, like, it's going to be like that for, like, a little while.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it's an exciting time, but... And I hate to say this, but it's a matter of being more critical of what people are saying in terms of feature sets and, like, promises. Because they're trying to sell you a console that you technically don't really need right away. So, yep. But eventually, like, you know, it's going to get to that point where it'll make sense and everything kind of flows really well. So,
was the demo 30 or 60 frames per second?
It was 30.
Yep.
Yes, it was 30. And it was running 1440p.
Yeah, which is whenever they said that they were targeting 4K 60 on games, and no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, for next gen, that is not. Yeah, gonna happen. I don't see that happening next gen. either. As
it'll be checkerboarded at best, but no.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping.
Frames per second.
That's I'm hoping for checkerboarded. So that's what I'm hoping for. And then from there, you know, whatever game developers do, go ahead and do it. Let's not aim for 4K native. Let's aim for
60 frames per second. That's the only aim I want.
I agree with you there. Like, we should be aiming for 60 as well, but we need to checkerboard it so we can at least get past 30. So
a stable 30 would be like, I mean, how many games this gen, especially early, didn't you have like a stable 30?
There was quite a few didn't have a stable 30.
Early
I could
on,
say yeah. I could say early on. Early on, the PS4 was much better at handling 1080p. So we have to give that credit.
Yeah, PS3 was for sure.
Yeah, we have to give that. We have to give credit for that.
I remember playing Skyrim early PS3, and it was like, I don't know, dropped to like 15-20 multiple times.
Yeah, so we have to give credit where it's due there with the PS4, with, you know, it actually running pretty much almost, I would say, at least over 70% of its games over 1080p. So if they could, you know,
is that something we should be like super proud of? I mean, it is.
Honestly, it is. Something to be super proud of.
The hardware is old, but
because it was, you know, for the value proposition, it's definitely it was worth it for that. You know, moving on to next gen now, it's kind of, now is all this resolution stuff going to be worth it for next gen? That's what it is, because games look great now in 1080p, but now these games are going to run even better at 1080p. Like you said, to get to 60, you know, you have to take those small steps. So checkerboard is what I'm hoping. They could do checkerboard, and then from there work on effects, and then get them to run over 30 frames at, you know, steady rate.
Well, I think ultimately it'll be the quality of the developer and budget in terms of what, and I guess engine in terms of how close or how much further above 30 frames and still having a good resolution will be at. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at a few of the, I guess, cross-gen ports are going to be, you know, higher res, maybe 4K, maybe 2K, which I guess technically 1440p is, stuff like that, and it'll probably run close to 60, but we'll start seeing that the resolution and frame rate degrade a little bit. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's steady, no frame pacing issues, that is A-okay in my book. If it's 30, but it's like solid 30, then perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, that's something we're, you know, when he shows these games, I guess on Thursday we're going to get more information on June 4th, so definitely check that out.
You know what time that is?
So that is at 1 p.m.
1 p.m. Pacific.
Yes, so that's going to be, I guess, awesome to see, especially just again because we've gotten no news. So we're awaiting that here. I know a lot of people are, so definitely can't wait to see that. But you know, another thing that Sony did do, and we were awaiting this as well, is that Sony finally showed off more of the Ghost of Tsushima. They did a complete state of play on the Ghost of Tsushima, and also The Last of Us 2. They just recently did The Last of Us 2. We're going to go into Ghost of Tsushima here a little bit, because I was I freaking loved it. The reason why I love the Ghost of Tsushima state of play, because they got into a lot more detail, and this is how their state of play should have been. For the longest time, this is how their first state of play should have been. I know they try to do multiple games like Nintendo Directs, but this is the.
I think multiple games is still fine, but having the two, it works great, where they have like a deep dive on one specific game, Which some games need that, like Ghost of Tsushima needed a deep dive.
Yeah. But this is like, I agree with you with the multiple games, but this gives a better impression of just the whole thing, you know, just the whole presentation on how they did it this time around. But yeah, I was impressed with what they showed, because I was like, wow, this is literally what I wanted Assassin's Creed to be. Like, this is the one sort of era and timeline and setting that I wanted Assassin's Creed to be, and it's looking to fulfill that fantasy for me. Just the way everything works in Ghost of Tsushima in terms of presentation, the gameplay, I know a lot of people just in the gaming community, some say it looks too simple. I say bring it on. This is to me, it looks like Assassin's Creed before Odyssey and Origin, but just at a little bit more advanced level. So to me, I was very, very happy with that showing, especially when looking at it on your 4K TV. That's another thing that it looked like stunning, and I can't wait to play it. Like I can't wait to play it. They did show a lot of the combat as well. They showed more of the combat, I guess, for like Jin's ninja form, and that's the main character, Jin. They showed more of his ninja form, because you could play samurai or you could play ninja. You could switch both stylings. So I'm just excited. I'm ready to go with this title.
For me, I was kind of down on it, to be honest. I don't know. Like, they're like, oh yeah, it's so like so unique, where, you know, you're not going to have tons of checkpoints on a map, and then they pull up a map and it has a bunch of checkpoints. Which was weird. There's a lot of UI stuff that's still there that doesn't need to be, I didn't think, and they didn't even explain what half of it did, which was weird. I have no idea what those bubbles on the bottom left do. I don't think anybody does.
Well, they're to do like a special attack. That's what those bubbles were there for. I know they didn't explain. I know they didn't explain it, but like looking at the gameplay, I was like looking through it so much. I mean,
you deep dive a game, you should talk about anything that's visually seen as a UI element. Because if not, why is it there, you know?
I do agree.
Less UI than more, for sure. And then I'll probably still get it. I like Sucker Punch games, so for sure. But I don't know. It's just, I feel like they kind of said it was going to be a lot of things that it wasn't, and then what they showed like doesn't match up with that. And then it's just hard to tell, especially like how the like stealth gameplay is going to be. Like, is it going to be just like every other one? He throws a coin or whatever he throws. Enemies look, turn around, you walk right behind them, kill them. You know, like, I don't know. We'll see. It just seemed like they were going to take it all these interesting and unique ways, and they stuck way closer to the formula than I thought they might. Which is kind of my fault, because it's not like the Infamous games stray that far from any open world formula anyway. But I was just hoping based on what they were saying. So.
Yeah. Because but since like they didn't really announce much in terms of gameplay for like the longest time, I didn't really know what to expect, and once they showed off the gameplay, I'm pretty lukewarm on it. None of it looks like, oh my god, this looks so fun. I mean, visually, the game has a nice identity. It's evoking, I can't remember his name.
Kurosawa, right?
The famous...
Kurosawa, or whatever his name is?
Yeah, Kurosawa, that's it. Yeah. Like, a lot of his films, so like I like that. Like, visually, it looks fantastic. But it just feels, gameplay-wise, there isn't anything there, at least for me. And, like, right now, I might get it if I'm bored and, like, there's nothing else, but it's not something I'm, like, really looking forward to. So, it's just kind of like, yeah, all right, fine.
You see, and for me, like, it's completely different because, like, I feel that in Assassin's Creed should have happened already in this time area, in this time zone, that I'm all for it because of that. I'm all for it because this is like the old Assassin's Creed gameplay. And it's not like that mixed action RPG. This is just straight up action. Straight up action set in a Japanese setting. You could be a samurai, you could be a ninja. And that's what's so great about it. That it's, you know, it's not too much overpowering in gameplay. Like, it sticks to, like you guys said, it sticks to the formula, and that's nice. And that's what's great about it to me, just with, you know, it being more AAA handled by Sony's first party, by Sucker Punch. So that's where it gets me. That's the selling point for me. But this is Assassin's Creed that I wish I had years ago.
But, like, that's my thing. Like, I didn't want it to be an Assassin's Creed. And it's just, like, a lot closer to that than I thought we were led to believe. But we'll see.
Well, at least they showed something. And I feel like they did it, like a week.
That's the lowest endorsing statement ever.
It is. Well, because, like, they hadn't shown anything for a while. No, but I think they showed it, like, a week before The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Because Last of Us 2 would kind of
they're getting kind of time
take over the narrative. Yeah. Since it comes out a lot sooner.
Yeah,
and then I guess we're just going to go straight in with The Last of Us 2 because they did a state of play on that one as well. And that one was legit. I think this is going to be game of the generation. Just going straight into it and just saying it. With the state of play, just like this one, another great state of play. And it was a deep dive on The Last of Us 2. And I honestly think this is going to be the game of the generation. This, to me, this whole showing was amazing. I was like, I have like my jaw dropped almost. I was watching it on my TV, and graphically looks great. You can expect nothing. Yeah, you can't expect nothing wrong for Naughty Dog. And just like, it just oozes style. Like, it's this, wow, they did a lot to evolve The Last of Us, with The Last of Us Part 2. They did a lot, and it shows. Just that state of play is just full on, like, it made me feel things. I don't even know how to say it.
I mean, it's kind of that evolution you'd hope they would take after The Last of Us, you know? And if any dev has proven, like, they do that time and time again, in most cases, it's been Naughty Dog, for sure. Like, they're usually pretty good at upping the ante, and like you were saying, like, I don't know if I can specifically point to exactly what, but, like, as much as Ghost of Tsushima didn't get me hyped, The Last of Us 2 gameplay segments did get me hyped, for sure. Like, I can't wait to jump into it.
I mean,
Rob just hates everything.
Yeah, he did.
I don't hate everything. It's just like with the first Last of Us, like I wasn't interested in the gameplay because I didn't like the whole concept of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not like I don't like the concept of survival. It's just not something I was really interested in playing. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing happened to Last of Us that happened to Avatar with me. Like, everyone kept overhyping it. So that kind of, like,
hard to keep back
killed any interest I had in it. Mm. And eventually I watched, like, a spoiler cast or something of it, so I kind of know what happens. And so with this, I feel nothing. Like, it's probably going to be the game of the generation. It'll probably be the game that most people talk about when it comes to the current generation. But, like, I don't feel nothing. I don't care.
Oh, you for sure.
Like, and I hate to be like, well, I don't care about this popular thing. It's like, great. And, you know, if everyone enjoys it, that's fantastic. You know, I will not play it. I have no horse in this race, and I hope it's good for people who want it. That's all I'm going to say.
You'll be hearing a lot of it from me. So
I'm sure both of y'all are going to talk about it, but it's just like, I don't care. Now, like I said, I don't want to be like so many contrary online personalities are like, but it's just like, it's not my bag, you know. It's just not my bag.
No, this video for me, like, going over like the traversal stuff with the climbing and all this stuff of like, wow, this Last of Us needed all these things, the first one, and they added all these things. I was just stunned at just the display of polish that this game has achieved. And we're going to get a good story. Like, I already see it. I could tell, like, you know, this is going to be that it game. So, impressed. That's all. And I'm guessing, you know, we're going to go more into it, you know, when the game comes out. But it's definitely on my, like, hype list. So, I'm hype times 1,000 for it. Or 3,000. There we go. So, I'm hyped 3,000 for it. So yeah, The Last of Us comes out soon. So it comes out on June 19th.
19th, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I guess everybody start playing The Last of Us again. That's all I can say. Yeah, that's all we can say here.
Well, I guess now it is time to close the floodgates.
Oh, the tables have turned.
A little steelage there, I see that.
Yes.
All
right, so you can catch us on Facebook at Dual Pixels. Catch us on Twitter at Dual Pixels. There's always the website as well, and Twitch. Y'all have been streaming on Twitch, so again, Dual Pixels there. I think that's it for the outro.
And one more thing, with the podcast, you could subscribe to us on Spotify,
yes,
Google Play, iTunes. We're everywhere. Stitcher, so we are everywhere. One last statement I wanted to just come out with, in regards to all the protesting that's going on here in America, I just wanted to say that we stand in solidarity with the Black community, and
all lives don't matter until Black lives matter. I just want to leave you guys with that.